Will the House please come to order? Will the Chief Clerk please call the roll?
Anderson.
Here.
Bagby.
Here.
Barbudo.
Here.
Berger.
Here.
Blake.
Here.
Bonner.
Here.
Brechtel.
Here.
Brown.
Here.
Buchanan.
Here.
Byrd.
Here.
Kennedy.
Here.
Carson.
Here.
Childers.
Here.
Pohey.
Here.
Connolly.
Here.
Kraft.
Here.
Davison.
Here.
Dirks.
Here.
Edmonds.
Here.
Esquivel,
here.
Gilmore,
here.
Gingery,
here.
Goggles,
here.
Hales, Hallinan,
here.
Hammonds,
here.
Harshman,
here.
Harvey,
here.
Illaway,
here.
Yagi,
here.
Jorgensen,
here.
Landon,
here.
Lockhart,
here.
Lubno,
here.
Madden,
here.
McKim,
here.
McComey,
here.
McComey, Mercer, Meyer, Meyer,
here.
Miller,
here.
Millen,
here.
Moniz,
here.
Patton,
here.
Peasley,
here.
Pedersen,
here.
Peterson,
here.
Philp,
here.
Korberg,
here.
Roscoe,
here.
Simlek,
here.
Shepperson,
here.
Stewart,
here.
Stubson,
here.
Teeters,
here.
Thompson,
here.
Throne,
here.
Wallace,
here.
Zwanitzer Dan,
here.
Zwanitzer Dave,
here.
Mr. Speaker,
here.
Hales, Hales,
excused.
Hales excused. McComey, McComey,
excused.
McComey excused. 58 present, 2 excused.
Good morning, folks. It's the 19th day of the session. The prayer this morning is offered again by Pastor Robert Schmidt, representing St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Cheyenne.
Okay, let us pray. Creator and Redeemer, we come to you today as we have an important task in this body to fulfill. We ask that you be with the legislature as they make decisions for this great state. As we look around and see your creation, we admire what you entrust to us. We ask that your Spirit be with us, that we may care for what you have given all humanity. In Jesus' name we pray. Keep us all safe from all harm and all danger. Amen.
Amen. Pastor Schmidt, thank you for being with us this week. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thanks again for
thanks.
Being here.
It's great
to see you. Yeah, thanks. It looked like you were in
good. Oh, yeah. Call me and let me know what happens. Okay. Happy early boy. Thank you.
Thank you.
Will the House please come to order? Bills are dying. Representative Davison? Representative Davison, would you like to announce the doctor and nurse of the day? And the page of the day?
It is my pleasure to introduce my daughter Perry for the nurse of the day and my son-in-law Fred Baldwin for the doctor of the day. This is their fourth year here, and especially my page for the day, my granddaughter Michaela.
Welcome, Michaela and Perry and Fred. Representative Davison has been waiting eagerly for this day. It's nice to have you here. Journal Committee report.
Mr. Speaker, your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of February 5, 2009 has been read and recommends that it be approved. Signed, Representative Barbuto, Representative Moniz.
Reports from standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, your committee number two, Appropriations, to whom was referred House Bill 295, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Berger, Hammonds, Harshman, Jorgensen, Pedersen, Phelps, Stewart, signed, Representative Berger, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number six, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, to whom was referred House Bill 136, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Bonner, Brown, Childers, Davison, Yagi, Millen, Shepperson, Thompson. No, Connolly. Signed, Representative Childers, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number eight, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, to whom was referred House Bill 125, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Blake, Carson, Cohey, Gilmore, Hallinan, Madden, McKim, Peterson, Zwanitzer, Dave. Signed, Representative Cohey, Chairman.
We are at that order of business of bills on second reading. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 97.
House Bill 97, introduced by the Agriculture Committee, an act involving relating to weights and measures.
House Bill 97, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Representative Lebno.
Mr. Speaker, pursuant to Rule 9-3C, I'd ask that House Bill 144 be laid back for a day. We're crafting an amendment on confidentiality of medical information that's becoming more extensive
than I thought. Excuse me. Thank you, Representative Lemnow. Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill 144 is laid back until Monday. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 163.
House Bill 163, introduced by Representative Harshman, an act relating to education, physician assistant school.
House Bill 163, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 176.
House Bill 176, introduced by Representative Bonner, an act relating to the Department of Agriculture regarding bee X-ray equipment appropriation.
House Bill 176, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 183.
House Bill 183, introduced by Representative Escobel, an act relating to educational assistance for National Guard members, military tuition.
House Bill 183, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 198.
House Bill 198, introduced by Representative Anderson, an act relating to the Wheat Marketing Commission.
House Bill 198, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 226.
House Bill 226, introduced by Representative Shepperson, an act relating to state lands grazing leases.
Chairman Landon. Chairman Landon, there you are.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Visiting with the sponsor of the bill, we find that there's other language that we would like to add to this amendment. And so in the interest of time, I will withdraw this amendment and we'll bring it back on third reading.
Thank you. House Bill 226, having been read two separate, absent no objection, as so ordered. House Bill 226, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 235.
House Bill 235, introduced by Representative Mercer, an act relating to child protection case planning.
House Bill 235, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 237.
House Bill 237, introduced by Representative Barbuto, an act relating to changing of names in district court.
House Bill 237, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 240.
House Bill 240, introduced by Appropriation Committee, an act relating to elected state officials.
House Bill 240, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 252.
House Bill 252, introduced by Representative Landon, an act relating to the Wyoming retirement system, including hospital participation.
House Bill 252, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 262.
House Bill 262, introduced by Representative Semlich, an act relating to the Environmental Quality Act.
Chairman Gingrey, House Bill 262.
I apologize, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment number one. What this will do is there was some concern yesterday that how the bill reads is that once the Environmental Quality Council decides that this is an area that is okay for rare and uncommon, under the bill then it goes to the Joint Minerals Committee. And then if Joint Minerals Committee thinks it's a good idea, then they sponsor the bill and it comes to the legislature, and then it becomes, through legislative act, a rare and uncommon area. The concern I had was, what if the EQC says, yes, we've done hearings, yes, we've agreed this is a good area to be rare and uncommon. They present it to the Joint Mineral Committee, and for whatever reason, the Joint Mineral Committee says, no, we're not going to sponsor this as a bill. Is there any way for an individual legislator or even another committee to sponsor the bill so at least it can get into the process? I mean, in all practical sense, let's say an individual legislator was allowed to sponsor it, it'll probably get reassigned back to Minerals anyway, and Minerals could kill it there. But I just thought there should at least be some fairness to the system that a one committee could not block a concept from at least being introduced into the House or into the Senate, either side. So that was the concept, that prior to the session beginning, that an individual legislature could take up the cause, but only take up the cause if it's been recommended by the EQC. So that was the idea. It wasn't a huge issue, but I thought it might be a good thing for the bill.
Chairman Semlich.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I guess I would encourage the body not to vote for this amendment. And I want to refocus the debate really on not an attempt by a certain committee to block a particular action in regard to a designation, but really more what we have done in interim work is have bills and interim studies assigned to it where over time an interim committee can really get a sense for what the subject is and what the policy might be and have this ability from year to year to year to have this institutional knowledge within a certain committee to make decisions like this. So again, my intent in amending the Environmental Quality Council Act was really to focus on the process and a process that would provide oversight by an elected body. While this amendment really doesn't block that, I just think it would be more desirable to establish a process that would allow for a consistent and uniform approach to considering the reports that might come from the Environmental Quality Council in regard to any proposed designation. That cost and uniform approach, I believe, is best provided in an interim committee setting where the interests and concerns of the stakeholders are heard, time and time again. So while on a proposed third reading amendment to say, well, maybe it doesn't belong in the Joint Minerals Committee, I would be open to looking at what other logical committee this type of a consideration might occur, whether it's agriculture or minerals. I don't think it makes any difference. But I think it's important that it stays in the inner committee process. So, Mr. Speaker, I would urge the body not to support this amendment.
Thank you. Mr. Speaker, Pro Tem, could you come up for a minute, please?
Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Pro Tem, I have a question on page 3, lines 14 and 15. The sentence to which the amendment would be incorporated, what is the intent of that sentence that says a designation under this paragraph shall only occur through legislative enactment? Does that mean only by the Minerals Committee? As I read it, that could be by anyone. The Minerals Committee has the discretion to bring the bill because it's permissive. They may bring the bill. And it's reported to them, and then they may bring the bill. And then the next sentence modifies that by saying it can only be done by legislative enactment. If the intent of that sentence is to allow anyone to bring it, any standing committee or legislator, then I think the amendment clarifies that. If that's not the intent of that sentence, I would like to know why it was not the intent of that sentence, beyond what the good chairman has said about having the Minerals Committee really being the standing committee that hears these things. Anyone else for their first time? For your second time, Chairman Semlick? Did you wish to have a second time, Chairman Semlick?
Well, Mr. Speaker, thank you. I'm not sure that I fully track your question. I apologize for that. In line 14, a designation of an area as very rare or uncommon shall only occur through legislative enactment. Yeah, that would indicate to me that the process has to go through the Joint Minerals Committee, for example, and then onto the floor for debate. So I'm not sure if I tracked your question correctly or not, Mr. Speaker.
Anyone else for their second time? Chairman Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And the Speaker actually pointed out what my concern was. What I was attempting to do was just clarify, and I thought I was just sort of helping it along. Because here's the problem, that if you read that, and you can read it both ways, I guess, but one way of reading that is that we're giving this essentially superpower to the Minerals Committee, and I have great respect for that committee, and they can certainly have superpowers. But the difficulty is that this is occurring prior to the session even beginning. And you could read this that the only way the bill could ever even get into session is only if the Joint Minerals Committee sponsors the bill. You know, and we always have the situation where a committee can kill a bill in committee or not take it up, and someone can pull it out of that committee onto the floor. In this situation, you couldn't even do that because the bill was not allowed to even be introduced into the body, even for an assignment to a committee. That was my only concern, that do we really want to give one committee the ability that the month or two prior to the session make the decision not to allow a bill to be even introduced into the session? That was my concern. I was trying to just clarify that if the Joint Minerals Committee decided not to take up the cause of whatever that was, that's fine, but some other committee or an individual legislator could take up the cause if they so choose.
Chairman Semelik, the sponsor's already gone for a second time. With his consent, I would allow you to go for a second time if you wanted to clarify. He has consented. Please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I do see what the concern is, and we could certainly consider a third reading amendment that would require the committee, wherever the report is submitted to bring that on to the legislature, so we make sure that that's not a stopping point. So the body can just work their will on this committee, I guess.
Thank you. We are voting on second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 262. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no.
No.
Second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 262 is passed. Division has been called. All those in favor, please stand. All those opposed, please stand. Second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 262 has failed. House Bill 262 having been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 288.
House Bill 288, introduced by Representative Lockhart, an act relating to utility certificate of authority high voltage transmission lines.
House Bill 288 having been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 291.
House Bill 291, introduced by Representative Pedersen, an act relating to economic development, small business investment credit.
Representative Pedersen.
Mr. Chairman, I move second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 291. And the Wyoming Business Council came to me and said that it might take them longer than June 1st, 2009 to promulgate rules. So I changed it to September. I'm a team player. Why not? I hope you support it.
There is a corrected copy of this amendment. That's the one we should be looking at. Oh, no, excuse me. I'm looking at the Committee of the Whole amendment. I'm sorry. Okay, anyone else for their first time? Anyone for their second time? Question being called, all those in favor of second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 291, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. Second reading amendment number 1 to 291 has passed. House Bill 291 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. We are at that order of business of bills on third reading and final passage. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading consent list consisting of House Bills 71, 96, 100, 152, 222, 223, 229, 234, 242, 261, and 271.
Would anyone like to remove a bill from the consent list? Mr. Minority Floor Leader, excuse me. So there are no bills removed from the consent list. Would the reading clerk please read the consent? I'm sorry, Representative Harshman. Oh, excuse me, Representative Patton. Excuse me, House Bill 234 is requested been removed. That objection is so ordered. The Mr. Reading Clerk, when you're ready, please read the consent list.
House Bill 71, introduced by Representative Berger, an act relating to the film industry incentives, financial incentives, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 96, introduced by Representative Buchanan, an act relating to railroads and public highway crossings, railroad quiet zones, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 100, introduced by the Select Water Committee, an act relating to water development projects, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 152, introduced by Representative Harshman, an act relating to athletic trainers licensing, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 222, introduced by Representative Brown, an act relating to the establishment of private roads, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 223, introduced by Representative Simpson, an act relating to education regarding bullying profession, prevention, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 229, introduced by Representative Brown, an act relating to court security reimbursement, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 261, introduced by Representative Bagby, an act relating to Department of Corrections inmates, savings accounts for the inmates, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 271, introduced by Representative Berger, an act relating to Medicaid regarding speech and audiology services, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming. House Bill 242, introduced by Representative Buchanan, an act relating to motor vehicles, off-road vehicle definition, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the House? The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bagby.
Aye.
Barbuto.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Bonner. Brechtel,
aye.
Brown,
aye.
Buchanan,
aye.
Byrd,
aye.
Kennedy,
aye.
Carson,
aye.
Childers,
aye.
Cohey,
aye.
Connolly,
aye.
Kraft,
aye.
Davison,
aye.
Dirks,
aye.
Edmonds,
aye.
Esquivel,
aye.
Gilmore,
aye.
Gingery,
aye.
Goggles,
aye.
Hales,
aye.
Hallinan,
aye.
Hammonds,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey, Illaway,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Jorgensen,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Lubno,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
McComey,
aye.
Mercer,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Millen,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Peasley,
aye.
Pedersen,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Philp,
aye.
Korberg,
aye.
Roscoe,
aye.
Simlick, Shepperson,
aye.
Stewart,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Thompson,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Wallace,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dan,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 60 ayes. As to House Bill 71, are there any changes? Teeters? Aye to no. Are there any other changes? Brechtel? Aye to no. Mercer? Aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 57 ayes, 3 noes. As to House Bill 96, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 60 ayes. As to House Bill 100, are there any changes? Are there any changes? Stubson, conflict. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 59 ayes, 1 conflict. As to House Bill 152, are there any changes? Millen, aye to no. Pedersen, aye to no. Korberg, aye to no. Davison, aye to no. Miller, aye to no. Mercer, aye to no. Madden, aye to no. Edmonds, aye to no. Hallinan, aye to no. Landon, aye to no. Are there any other changes? Jorgensen, aye to no. Are there other changes? The vote is closed. 49 ayes, 11 noes. As to House Bill 222, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 60 ayes. As to House Bill 223, are there any changes? Dirks, aye to no. Semlich, aye to no. Anderson, aye to no. Zwanitzer Dave, aye to no. Stubson, aye to no. Teeters, aye to no. Miller, aye to no. Brechtel, aye to no. Hallinan, aye to no. Korberg, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 50 ayes, 10 noes. As to House Bill 229, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 60 ayes. As to House Bill 242, are there any changes? Zwanitzer Dave, aye to no. Gilmore, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 58 ayes, 2 noes. As to House Bill 261, are there any changes? Hammonds, aye to no. Miller, aye to no. Shepperson, aye to no. Cohey, aye to no. Zwanitzer Dan, aye to no. Are there any other changes? Brechtel, aye to no. Are there other changes? The vote is closed. 54 ayes, 6 noes. As to House Bill 271, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 60 ayes.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bills 71, 96, 100, 152, 222, 223, 229, 242, 261, and 271 have passed the House. We're at that order of business of bills on third reading and final passage regular list. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 114.
House Bill 114, introduced by the Education Committee, an act relating to community college amendments, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Representative Wallace.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I bring to you second reading amendment number one to House Bill 114. And on page one of the bill, you will notice that the second sentence there says, establishing a statewide college system operations and facility funding mechanism based on a prescribed system-wide strategic planning process, attaching state funding to state interests. And nowhere in this document was state interests specifically pointed out as being exactly that. And so what my amendment does on page 13, line 15, it inserts, first of all, on line 15, assure. It deletes assure and it inserts this language, adheres to the state's interests in establishing a statewide college system identified as assuring. So let me read that sentence. What we're talking about here is in developing, reviewing, and updating the strategic plan, the commission shall include mechanisms within the planning process which adheres to the state's interests in establishing a statewide college system identified as assuring statewide access to academic programs, career technical education and training programs, dual and concurrent enrollment programs, remedial and continuing education programs, responding to the needs of students, employers, and the state workforce, including program access through outreach or coordinated electronic system technology. And my fear that without really pointing this out and clearly delineating that these are the state's interests in this strategic planning process, that if we did not include that every 2 years when we came up to begin developing the statewide strategic plan, that there might be massive sways of opinion about exactly what the state's interests are, and that that would make it those we've seen opinions and attitudes change in this legislature from session to session widely, and that's my fear. Here's where we have said this is what we believe is the state's interest in this statewide strategic plan, and I think that we need to clearly delineate that. I'll stand for questions, Mr. Speaker.
Chairman McComey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, the reason I missed roll call is I was making sure that there was nothing in this that might affect the bill someplace else, bill this size. There wasn't any place. This appears to be a friendly amendment.
Anyone else for their first time? Anyone else for their second time? We are voting on third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 114. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. Third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 114 has passed. House Bill 114, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The Chief Clerk will please call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bagby.
Aye.
Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buchanan.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Carson.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Cohey.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Dirks.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Esquibel.
Aye.
Gilmore.
Aye.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Hales.
Aye.
Hallinan.
Aye.
Hammonds.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Illaway.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Jorgensen.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Lockhart. Lockhart. Lubno.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
McComey.
Aye.
Mercer.
Aye.
Meyer.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Millen.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Patton.
Aye.
Peasley.
Aye.
Pedersen.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Philp.
Aye.
Korberg.
Aye.
Roscoe.
Aye.
Simlek.
Aye.
Shepperson.
Aye.
Steward.
No.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
No.
Thompson.
Throne.
Aye. Wallace.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Lockhart, aye. I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 ayes, 2 noes.
House Bill 114, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 114 has passed the House. Ladies and gentlemen, and the new members, I thought I would just mention that when a bill passes third reading in this House, and you've been tracking it with your bills and your amendments and any handouts that come out, and if you keep those together, it's best that you keep those together, because in all likelihood that bill will be back for another vote on a concurrence if there are substantial changes to it. If you keep those things together, and when that comes back, you'll be able to find it all together. That may help you out. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 234.
House Bill 234, introduced by Representative Patton, an act relating to taxation and revenue, property tax assessed value, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Representative Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I'd move third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 234 and ask for your favorable consideration. Members, this just is much of the debate we had yesterday. It puts the money back into the bill and changes the effective date, moves it up a year. That was changed in a different standing committee. I think we voted yesterday. We thought this was a really pretty good idea and a viable idea, and I would like to give this bill some legs and as it runs forward. So Ask staff for any questions. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you. Representative Patton.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. There's been some information that has been on the email going to many of us in the House here. And one of the statements is, I believe that most of your colleagues think that this bill only applies to residential property, which is untrue. It applies to all agricultural, commercial, real estate, and so forth. I would ask that that you, I know that you've got all this stuff folded and you're carrying it around and it's close to your heart, but to please understand, we were specific in the drafting of the measure that it applied to only one of the three categories of property that is in Article 11 of the Wyoming State Constitution. It does not apply to agriculture. It does not apply to industrial. It applies to all other real property. And yes, it does apply to the businessman on Main Street that owns the building. It will apply to that because that is a part of the definition of real property under the Roman numeral 3 in Article 11. So I want to dispel that, and what we were trying to do and what the good sponsor of the amendment today is to have a package that is realistic and understood to the Senate so that it will go first to their Revenue Committee, then second to the Appropriations Committee, and then third to the Committee of the Whole. This allows that body and our Joint Committee of Appropriations to put it into perspective with all the rest of the considerations. So with that, I would urge the adoption of the proposed amendment and the passage of House Bill 234. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Chairman Gingrey. Could you come up for a second? Representative Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The problem I have with this approval of this last amendment is that if we put appropriations in both of House Bill 68 and this one as well, it sends a message that the other body would tend to think that they need to approve one and not approve the other, wherein I think, in fact, most of us want us to, in this body, want them to approve both House Bill 68 and this one. I think what we're doing is we're sending a message of confusion on our part, or if not confusion, schizophrenia, in the sense that we can't seem to make up our minds which one is which. And in fact, what we've been talking about is using this bill we're under discussion today as a long-run solution to this perpetual residential property tax problem, and the House Bill 68 will provide an immediate solution. So I guess I'd urge the body to resist sending this mixed signal over there. Thank you.
Chairman McComey.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to divide the amendment.
What is the proposed division?
What, lines 1 through 8 would be division number 1. And lines 9 through 14 would be division number 2. And with that, Mr. Speaker, I would like the people that have, the person that brought the amendment to explain to me why he wants to change the date from 2010 to 2009. I was very comfortable with it the way that it was. I'm very curious why that was so important to do that.
Chairman McComey, why do we need to divide it to get to that?
Well, I was just looking at the division. What I'm concerned about is the second division. I would move the first division, unless those two are tied together in some way that I'm not aware of.
Chairman McComey, I'd say it's not divisible, because if you change one, you can't have conflicting dates in the bill. And so I would rule that proposed division is not in order.
Well, thank you then, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, then I would speak against the amendment because I believe that this body was very comfortable with the 2010 date. And when we had a pretty spirited discussion about this, what this is a whole new policy that we're putting into our statutes. And it's, as I said yesterday, a type of rolling cap. So I was very comfortable to give it that little extra period of time for us to look at this. We have the homestead exemption out in front of us. And so with that, I am on and against the amendment.
Speaker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker Pro Tem. I'm uncertain how I feel about the amendment, but I wanted to talk about the amendment a bit. House Bill 234 now has no money in it to backfill, and that is because it doesn't become effective until the money wouldn't be needed the way it's written until the end of 2010. When you pay your first half taxes in November of 2010, you're paying your first half of 2010 taxes in November. That money comes in, and at that point, I believe, is when that backfill would kick in. So because it's got a 2010 date, we wouldn't need the money. The amendment says it will be effective for the 2009 tax year, so we would need the money in November of 2009 to backfill. I'm in favor of that. I'm talking myself into it. And here's why. Because if we send House Bill 234, to the other body, we are sending a property tax relief bill that has no money in it and no relief until 2010. So when they see their options, their options will be House Bill 68, which has effective immediate money of $36 million, versus a three-year rolling average with no money in it until 2010. And I suspect that their choice could be that bill, this bill. And if we don't amend it, I think that we could possibly lose any tax relief for 2009. So if we amend it and put money in it for 2009, the choice is how much money are you going to give in tax relief for 2009, not whether you're going to give it at all. And I believe I favor that choice between the two bills with money in them for 2009. So on and for the amendment. Representative Edmonds.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just to give the body some information about this bill as it came out of our committee. It came out of our committee and onto this floor with money in it in 2010. And the reason that we changed the date in committee was the testimony that we heard from the county-level people who do this work for us was that they still had a substantial number of questions about the rolling average, how to articulate an appeal, how that appeal would work. They had numerous questions, and they're the ones on the ground who are going to have to do this, and they asked for more time. The argument here seems to be more about the money. I would suggest, and I know the amendment wasn't divided, and we're now faced with this issue of rolling the date back and putting money in it, but I think we're going to make for some serious problems for our home folk when we go home. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Miller, I'm going to defer to Representative Korberg at the moment, if you don't mind, please. Representative Korberg.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I'd like to take a second attempt at dividing this amendment. I would like Division 1 to be lines 1 through 3, and then Division 2 to be lines 4 through 14.
That is divisible. Division 1 being lines 1 through 3 and Division 2 being lines 4 through 14. Please explain.
Mr. Speaker, in terms of Division 1, I would speak in favor of Division 1, and I'm saying that because that would put the funding back in, and I do think that is the right thing to do. And then do you just want to deal with Division 1 first, or you want me to explain them both?
Please explain Division 2, and then
Division 2 would just leave those dates to 2010, as we had originally discussed, based on the challenges that would come in assessing that tax and figuring it. So that was my logic, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you. We are on Division 1. Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and thanks for that clarification. I was getting a little confused there, but it didn't really matter because I'm speaking basically on and for Division 1. Of this. It puts the money back in. I think we need to send it to the Senate with the money. The money gets in there. It's a good thing. Whether it lasts in there going forward next year or the year after is going to be an option of this body in the future. So it's a way to kind of set aside a small amount for the tougher times that may be down the road. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you. Representative Mercer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. As one of the co-sponsors on this, I would say that that is a friendly position and a friendly amendment. Thank you.
Chairman Cohey.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. You know, just another way of looking at this and in favor of Division 1 and putting the money back in. Folks in Wyoming have asked for some form of tax relief on their property taxes, and I think personally, I think from what I hear from most of them, they're looking for tax increase relief. And you know what this bill does. It smooths out those increases, dramatic increases going up, possibly even as they go down. But what this does is not so much a relief in the form of giving them back money, but what this does is tell our local government partners in the form of counties and cities and towns that, okay, we're going to go ahead as a state policymaking body and grant some form of smoothing out effort for the people that pay property tax in the state of Wyoming, but oh, by the way, you're going to bear the brunt of that expense? That's hardly fair. Mr. Speaker, I believe the money should be put in there. If it isn't all used, that'll be to the advantage of the state. But if the money isn't in there at all, it'll be to the disadvantage of the counties and cities and towns.
Representative Esquivel, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, on the amendment, but ultimately against the bill. I was one of the no votes in the committee on the bill. I didn't really want to send that mixed message to the Senate. And I do want the body to realize that there is the possibility that if both bills do go to the Senate, there is the possibility you'll lose House Bill 68, somewhere in that good old legislative process. And I'd really hate to see that happen as well, and I'm going to continue to be a no vote on this bill.
Anyone else for their first time on Division 1? Representative Patton, did you want to speak to Division 1? Okay, anyone else for their second time? We are voting on Division 1 to third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 234. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no?
No.
The chair is in doubt. All those in favor, please stand. Division 1 has passed. We are in Division 2. Anyone for their first time? Division 2 leaves the dates at 2010 as they currently exist in the bill. No, excuse me. If we pass Division 2, it takes it to 2009. Representative Edmonds.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just to reiterate, the reason the bill came onto the floor from our committee with the date back to 2010 was the words from our local folks on the ground who administer this. We really need to give them time to work this out. If this is the policy shift we're going to, it is a very new concept, and they had a lot of really good questions, again, about how do you articulate appeal, what if the property is sold on the second or third year, lots of questions. I would really suggest that we defeat this amendment and keep the dates as they are.
Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against this division of third reading amendment to House Bill 234, and on and strongly for the bill. This is a good bill. It cushions future growth of property taxes. Again, you've heard it several times. This is what our constituents want. Let's get this bill through.
Anyone else for the first time? Representative Patton. Please use your microphone. Thank you.
I do not oppose the proposed amendment. If I might take the liberty of the moment, though, is just to answer the one question that was brought, and that was the appeal process. This measure does not change the appeal process. The appeal for previous years is not open to them after the statute says that the appeal time is done. So the only appeal that would be available would be the availability of the current assessment of the current year, each year that it occurs. And then that, whatever the answer to that appeal is brought to the average. So I want to dispel that thought that the appeal process opens up previous years. It does not.
Representative Patton, are you in favor of Division 2?
Yes.
Thank you. Representative Escobar.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against Division 2 and against the bill. I want the body to think about this. This is a good bill. It is a very good bill. I think it should be our number one or number two interim study in revenue. It would show the public that the legislature and the revenue committee are very serious about going in this direction. There is a possibility as well, if it's passed, that if property values as they are right now starting to stabilize and eventually do go down, there is a possibility that their assessments and their taxes won't go down under this system. So it does need a little bit more study. It is a good bill, but I am voting no against the bill.
Chairman McComey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against the second reading, the second division. If we defeat the second division, we send something to the Senate that is very clear. They're always telling us at the other end of the building how much smarter they are than we are, and I just soon send them something very clear and very definite. And so on and against the amendment and for the bill.
Representative Lubnow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against the amendment, and I guess against the bill. Here's my concern. If you slow down the tax increases, you slow down the revenue to the governments at the time when they need it most, dealing if you're in a growth economy. By delaying those tax revenues 2 or 3 years, as this bill does, because it smooths out the tax increases, you also delay the collections that the governments may or may not need to address impacts. And so it's a cash flow issue, I guess, because you're delaying your cash flow. And so moving, that's why I'm against the amendment, because I think that we shouldn't move this up another year. Thank you.
I gave Representative Lubnow a first time on the second time, so anyone else would like to speak, I'll go ahead and allow that. Representative Hallinan.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If somebody can correct me if I'm wrong, but it looks like House Bill 68 takes place this year. And if we defeat this amendment, this 234 will begin next year. So I would, if I understand this correctly, I would be against this division, so there wouldn't be any confusion between House Bill 68 and House Bill 234, and both can go through and they will not conflict. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you. Anyone else for their first time on Division 2? Anyone else for their second time, not repeating what you said your second time? Okay, we are voting on Division 2 of Third Reading Amendment Number 1. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no.
No.
Division 2 has failed. House Bill 234, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Anderson.
No.
Bagby.
Aye.
Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
No.
Bonner.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buchanan.
Aye.
Byrd.
No.
Kennedy.
No.
Carson.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Cohey.
Aye.
Connolly. Craft.
No.
Davison.
Yes.
Davison.
Yes. Aye.
Dirks.
No.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Esquibel.
No.
Gilmore.
No.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Hales.
Aye.
Hallinan.
Aye.
Hammonds.
No.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Illaway.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Jorgensen.
No.
Landon. Lockhart.
Aye.
Lubno.
No.
Madden.
No.
McKim.
Aye.
McComey.
Aye.
Mercer.
Aye.
Meyer.
No.
Miller.
Aye.
Millen.
Aye.
Moniz.
No.
Patton.
Aye.
Peasley.
Aye.
Pedersen.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Philp.
Aye.
Korberg.
Aye.
Roscoe.
Aye.
Semlek.
No.
Shepperson.
Aye.
Stewart. Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
Aye.
Thompson.
No.
Throne.
No.
Wallace.
No.
Zwanitzer Dan.
No.
Zwanitzer Dave.
No.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 38 ayes, 22 noes.
House Bill 234, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, House Bill 234 has passed the House. Reports from standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, your committee number 3, Revenue, to whom was referred House Bill 287, respectfully reports same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Edmonds, Esquibel, Goggles, Madden, Semlek, Wallace. No, Anderson, Miller, Peterson. Signed, Representative Anderson, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, to whom was referred House Bill 302, respectfully report same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass with amendments. Ayes, Bonner, Brown, Connolly, Davison, Yagi, Millen, Thompson. No, Childers, Shepperson. Signed, Representative Childers, Chairman.
We're at that order of business of consideration of bills on general file. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move that the House resolve itself into Committee of the Whole.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. The House is resolved into Committee of the Whole. Representative Harshman.
Representative Peasley.
Mr. Chairman, privilege of the floor.
Go ahead.
I would like to introduce all of you to the contents of the South Balcony and the West Balcony. These are kids and parents, part of the Converse County Homeschoolers Organization, but it includes kids from everywhere from Wheatland to Douglas and Glendale and their parents. There's about 26 to 30 in all. I'd like to welcome you kids to the 60th Wyoming Legislature, and I'd ask the legislature to welcome them. Thank you.
Welcome to the House. The
Committee of the Whole will please come to order. The first bill for our consideration is actually a resolution, House Joint Resolution number 8. The reading clerk will please read the bill.
House Joint Resolution number 8, introduced by Representative Wallace, an act, a joint resolution urging Congress to oppose federal legislation that interferes with the state's ability to direct the transport or processing of horses. This bill was referred to Committee number 5, Agriculture, Public Lands, and Water Resources, which recommended it do pass. Ayes, Blake, Carson, Edmonds, Gilmore, Moniz, Semlek, Teeters, Wallace, Wanitzer, Dan. Signed, Representative Semlek, Chairman.
You've heard of the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Chairman Semlek.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with a recommendation that House Joint Resolution number 8 do pass, and I would ask that the good representative from House District 52 explain the resolution. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Wallace.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. House Joint Resolution number 8 dealing with equine resources is only one of at least 7 or 8 resolutions that will be coming out of state legislatures this year. In legislatures that are in session right now that are dealing with this very critical threat to our horse industry and our livestock producers throughout this country. Once again, we have a Burton Conyers House Bill 503, Prevention of Cruelty to Equines, in the Judiciary Committee of the United States Congress. And that bill says that all transport of horses for slaughter is banned. And the bill goes beyond that. It's being backed by very well-financed animal rights organizations that have been very straightforward about their true agenda, which is to eliminate all of animal agriculture and to eliminate the eating of meat. So what this does is it sends a very clear message to Congress and to the administration that this is not just an issue about unwanted horses. This is an issue of markets, access to markets, and the private property rights of livestock owners. I can tell you that if we were to have a total ban on horse transport, right now all of the horse slaughter plants in the United States have been shut down by state action in states where these organizations have been able to sway public opinion that the very act of slaughter of an animal is cruel and inhumane. So our only market left is in Canada and Mexico, and now they want to shut that off. It's absolutely decimated the horse industry. There is no market. Sale barns are closing down. There's a gigantic problem with the horses that people no longer have a market for. I don't need to take too much time. I think this body, of all the legislative bodies in this country, probably understands the true seriousness and the necessity for sending this clear message, and I would just ask for your affirmative vote.
Further discussion? Ready for the question? Question being called. All those in favor of Representative Semlek's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rise and report to do so with the recommendation that House Joint Resolution number 8 do pass, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. House Joint Resolution number 8 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next joint resolution for our consideration is House Joint Resolution number 7. The reading clerk will please read the bill.
House Joint Resolution number 7, introduced by Representative Brechtel. And joint resolution to repeal requests made to Congress to call a convention for the purpose of proposing amendments to the Constitution of the United States. This joint resolution was referred to Committee Number one, Judiciary, which recommended that it do pass. Ayes, Kennedy, Gingrey, Mercer, Patton, Peasley, Korberg, no. Begbie, Barbuto, Throne. Signed, Representative Gingrey, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the resolution. What is your pleasure, Representative Chairman Gingrey?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report it, do so with the recommendation that bill number, or actually House Joint Resolution 7, do pass. And I turn over the explanation to the good gentleman from Casper.
Representative Brechtel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, under Article 5 of the Constitution, Congress must call a constitutional convention whenever two-thirds or 34 of the states have applied. So far, 32 states have applied. Wyoming is one of them. Affirmative votes are needed for only two more states before a constitutional convention could be assembled in which potentially unelected politicians could formally change our U.S. Constitution and our and potentially our way of life forever. The purpose of this bill is to send a clear message that Wyoming rescinds its request for a constitutional convention. And I believe the time is critical for all states to consider the seriousness of this. Requests for a convention have been for noble reasons. The U.S. Constitution places no restrictions on purposes for which states can call for a convention. However, any belief that a constitutional convention could be directed in its purpose is misplaced. There is no restrictive language to limit the scope or outcome of a convention. Once a convention is called, Congress determines how the delegates to the convention are chosen. The delegates would possess more power than the U.S. Congress itself. The last convention was held in 1787 to amend the Articles of Confederation. Instead, they ended up rewriting the Constitution and we emerged as a new nation. We're blessed at that time with delegates who understood all too well the cost of freedom and the freedoms that we now enjoy and the value of our republican form of government. Let me explain the bill. Page 1 through 5 is the history of requests for Wyoming's request for a convention. 1959, regarding abolition of income tax and estate tax, gift taxes. 1961, regarding a balancing of the federal budget. 1963, regarding apportionment of representation. Again, in 1963, to provide for a court of the union. And I suppose some of you are wondering what a court of the union means. I don't know. Few of you are awake. 1963, requesting a change of procedure for the constitutional amendments. 1975, requesting federal government to stop withdrawing federal funds to enforce mandates. 1977, to balance the federal budget. 1979, to place a limit on federal spending. Finally, on pages 5 and 6, calling upon Congress to repeal these requests. On page 7, certified copies to be sent to the Secretary of State, President of the Senate, Speaker of the House, and to the Wyoming delegation. Our uninterrupted form of self-government, our rights and our freedoms, have been the envy of the world for centuries. Let us send this clear message. Do not tamper with our U.S. Constitution under great uncertainty. The only constitutional convention that has occurred in the history of our nation was done so while the Articles of Confederation were in effect. It came about over the issue dealing with commerce. As I said before, we emerged as a new nation, even though some states had specified that only a single issue be addressed. There has been no case history since. Fortunately for us, these were very wise men at that time. Please vote aye on this, and if there isn't any questions, I would call for the question.
Question having been called, all those in favor of Representative... Sorry, I heard the question.
Mr. Chairman?
Representative Pat.
I need to delay this for just a few moments to tell you that when we considered this in the Judiciary Committee, why it was pointed out that I should explain all of these constitutional amendment requests for 1961, 63, of which there were three, and so forth. And I want the body to know that I told them that I was going to repent. I'm sorry that I may have voted for the constitutional amendment in 1961. I regret it, and I apologize to you, but I want you to know that, you know, so some 30 years from now, when you come back here, you're going to have to answer to the things that you've done. And I hope several of you do. I also want to acknowledge, however, I want you to acknowledge, I did not have a vote in 1963 on any of the constitutional amendments. I ask for your forgiveness only for the one in 1961. I'm on and for the measure. Thank you very much for bringing it.
Thank you, Representative. Further discussion? Question hasn't been called. All those in favor of Representative Gingrey's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report to do so with a recommendation that House Joint Resolution Number 7 do pass, please say aye. Those opposed, no. House Joint Resolution Number 7 is passed Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 85. The reading clerk will please read the bill.
House Bill 85, introduced by Representative Blake, an act relating to motor vehicles, the motor vehicle chain law. This bill was referred to Committee Number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, which recommended it do pass with amendments. Ayes, Blake, Carson, Cohey, Hallinan, Madden, McKim, Peterson, Zwanitzer, Dave. No, Gilmore. Signed, Representative Cohey, Chairman.
You've heard of the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Chairman Cohey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that House Bill 85 do pass. There is a Committee of the Whole amendment, Mr. Chairman, and I so move adoption of Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 at this time. If you will look at the bill, the amendment goes to page 2, lines 4 and 13, where the bill said, equipped with adequate snow tires, and the question in the committee came up that, okay, equipped with means what? In the trunk? So we added the word utilizing, meaning the tire chains must be in use. So that's what the amendment does, Mr. Chairman, and I would move adoption of... Oh, there is one more portion to the Standing Committee Amendment, Mr. Chairman, that on page 2, line 22, where it discusses vehicle, in the case of commercial vehicles, it had asked for the axle spacing between the axle of a commercial heavy-duty truck, considering there would be two axles, and they forgot about the part where it might only be a single-axle drive truck. So what they have done is to delete the line through the word axles on page 2, lines 22 and 23. I would move adoption, Mr. Chairman.
You heard the motion on Standing Committee Amendment. Ready for the question? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 has been adopted. We're back on the bill. Chairman Cohey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For a explanation of the bill, I defer to the bill's sponsor, Representative from House District 39.
Representative Blake.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is my one and only bill I brought this year. So I so should all vote for it just for that reason right there. This is for the good doctor. The genesis of this bill came from a local law enforcement group that patrols our highways. And their concern is, and then there was a little handout, just should be hit your desk. The front has a Colorado chain law and the back has the Wyoming chain law. There's no charging statute for the highway patrolman to issue a ticket for if you go past the chain law signs and you get stuck on the hill, let's say the First Sister or going up the summit. They can't get you a ticket, so that's what their concern is. Another concern is Colorado chain law is so tough that a lot of truckers during the winter, they come up through I-80 because they know our chain law is not adequate in my mind. I would stand for any questions. Thank you.
Representative Davidson, we have a committee of the whole amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, we do. This amendment was changed in the standing committee. There was amendment to change one sentence to utilizing. This amendment just conforms with that and makes all of it the language the same. Sorry, I move this amendment to.
Thank you, Representative Davis. More discussion. We have more discussion on committee of the whole amendment number one. Representative Blake.
I would consider that amendment quite neighborly.
We're on committee of the whole amendment number one, neighborly committee of the whole amendment number one. All those in favor of amendment number one, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. Committee of the whole amendment number one has been adopted. Is there any further discussion on the bill? Question being called. All those in favor, Representative Coey's motion that when the committee of the whole rises to report, to do so with the recommendation that House Bill number 85 do pass. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No. House Bill 85 is passed committee of the whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 215. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 215, introduced by Representative Anderson, an act relating to taxation and revenue exemption for renewable resources. This bill was referred to Committee Number 3, Revenue, which recommended it do pass with amendments. Ayes, Anderson, Edmonds, Goggles, Madden, Miller, Peterson, Simlick, Escobel, no, and Wallace, no.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Representative Chairman Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move it when the committee of the whole rises to report it, do so with recommendation that House Bill 215 do pass. And we do have a standing committee amendment that I would move standing committee amendment number one to House Bill 215 and ask for a no vote. We have an improvement amendment that comes on the committee of the whole. And if there's no questions about that, I would ask for the question.
Question hasn't been called. All those in favor of the standing committee amendment number one, say aye. All those opposed, say no.
No.
Standing committee amendment number one has been defeated. We are back on the bill. Chairman Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We have a committee of the whole number one that is going to be explained, but just so you know what this bill is about, there's a sunset date on renewable energies as far as sales tax that expires in 2012, and we're going to move that date up for wind energy and, well, for all of them in this bill. We'll be bringing some others, but there are some exemptions there. Without further, I would move committee of the whole amendment number one and turn that over to Representative Escobel.
Representative Escobel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to leave the microphone to Representative Carson to explain committee of the whole.
Representative Carson, we're on committee of the whole amendment number one.
Thank you for punting that my way. Committee of the whole amendment number one for renewable tax exemption bill. The intent of this is there's a lot of small providers out there in the state of Wyoming that are just sort of starting up that sell maybe a solar panel or a small wind that you could buy for your business or you could buy for your home. And as we talk about green jobs and wanting to help foster those in Wyoming, those businesses are still getting started. As we've all noticed, the wind turbines utility size are here, and they seem to be coming our way in strength and numbers. So this bill attempts to basically help out the smaller guys and help out any basically small wind, small solar, or any other sort of renewable energy that as defined in the bill. We came up with the concept of the particular rating, and what it says is 25 kilowatts. And for those of you that may not know what that is or can't grasp about how much energy that is, if you've ever been to War Memorial Stadium and you've seen the solar panels, they just moved them. They're right in front of the new practice field. That solar panel array is exactly 25 kilowatts. So you can see a size. It's still pretty good size. And the other reason that we discussed this particular amount was that it relates to the net metering law, statute 37-16-102. In that law, it outlines a process as the utility companies and the public service commission relate to how energy gets put in and out of the grid and the rates for that. So that number is a number that already exists in statute. It talks about a process. In short, if you go over that number, if you provide that much more renewable energy, you're sort of considered utility grade, and it requires more engineering studies. Utility companies would require you to, you know, do significant amount more investment. Anything smaller than that is generated, is considered by the utility companies and in statute to be, you know, it's not going to impact utility grid. So I would urge you to support this particular amendment, and it'll help the small guys, and I think a number of our communities have those particular businesses that are starting up, and we want those jobs, and I think those jobs are one job at a time, but I think those are the jobs we still want to try to target. And for the bill itself, we need to, you know, I would urge you to pass the bill, because the wind industry does have an impact on our communities, and I think this will help with the date change solve some of the issues.
Representative Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a question for the bringer of the amendment, and that would be, are these small producers subject to or eligible for the federal tax exemptions and credits that are available to the larger producers?
Representative Carson.
You know, there's a number of federal tax credits out there, production, solar, wind, small scale. The State Energy Office and the Wyoming Business Council has a solar program. I think it's $3,000. I think the federal one is also $3,000 for solar. They're not necessarily all-inclusive. They tend to target one source of renewable energy over another. Solar, wind, you know, there's other things in the bill, as you can read, that talk about, you know, small-scale hydrogen, geothermal. So if you wanted to do a geothermal heat pump system on your house, which is becoming quite popular, some of those don't exist and federal, some of them do. So this is an attempt to, at least for those small scale projects, to be more inclusive. And if somebody was going to do that on their business or their home, they would still be able to go out there and search for those federal tax credits. You know, those also have sunsets. They don't last forever, and those laws are also ever changing. So,
Chairman Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think this is a friendly amendment, and the answer to the question that the 2.1 cent federal tax credit now comes off the corporate tax, and if you're in that category, then perhaps it would work. Otherwise, I don't think it would apply to the small generators as far as a federal tax credit, but I am not positive on that issue. I would say this is a friendly amendment. It'll help the bill.
Any further discussion on Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1? Question being called. All those in favor of Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Amendment has been adopted. We're back on the bill. Chairman Anderson.
Thank you. At this time, I would move Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 2 to House Bill 215, and this is what we'd have to call the grandfather clause. I'd want you to look at the corrected copy. I think we've covered most of the loopholes that were in the other, or all of the loopholes that might have been in the others, and if you will see that this, and perhaps I should read it to you, that this was some of the big concern for those projects that had been started and not completed, and they were figuring the sales tax into their total program, and so this is to kind of grandfather those projects in, and it says on and after January 1st, 2010, the exemption shall apply to sales of equipment for projects where
where the project developer has prior to January 1st, 2010, entered into a written contract with a landowner that describes the project with specificity, including a description of the equipment to be purchased and placed in the landowner's land, and has made payment to the landowner under terms of the contract. To be eligible for the exemption, the project developer shall have received all required permits and approvals from all the government agencies for the development and construction of the project. Evidence of compliance with this subparagraph shall be submitted to the department with a request for an exemption. Equipment eligible for the exemption shall be purchased and delivered within the state of Wyoming on or before December 31st, 2011 for storage, use, or consumption by the developer to qualify for the exemption. This exemption provided under this subdivision of this subparagraph is repealed effective December 31st, 2011. So anything that happens after 2011 is subject to the sales tax. Now, if you would look at the handout that was just went out, developed, and if you look at the top, this was very convincing to me. If you take Wyoming wind that blows so the generators can run 40% of the time, as opposed to a generator that can only run 33% of the time, you'll see if you pay sales tax on the 40% Wyoming wind, you have a net of a $6 million. If you were over there where the rest of the state's only got 33% or less, the net, and not pay the sales tax, the net's $5 million. The sales tax is incidental, ladies and gentlemen, to the wind that Wyoming has. We used to be very degradatory about wind in Wyoming. Now, all of a sudden, it's a natural resource. And the sales tax really doesn't have an effect on whether these companies are going to come or not. It's the wind that makes the difference. With that, Mr. Chairman, I'd ask for a vote on, if there's no further questions, on Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 2.
Chairman Simlick.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. During the committee, we did hear from all the stakeholders involved in this, that's being the landowners who were concerned about whether or not this bill would compromise their ability to enter into contracts with wind generation companies. We had local governments there. They were concerned that they were not getting the revenue, and then the industry was there. I would just ask you to consider this amendment. It is a compromise between all of these parties to allow everybody to remain somewhat whole. Thank you.
Call for the question on the
Chairman
amendment.
Illaway. Chairman Illaway, on amendment, Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 2.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd just like to ask a question. I know there's federal tax credits, and I understood that those federal tax credits are going away. I've been contacted by some landowners in my area that are concerned that if we take away the sales tax, that they're not liable to get any of these wind turbines on their land. So I just want to make sure that we have gone through all of the proper, listened to everybody, and made sure that this is that those people that want the companies that want to put wind turbines up, that they're kind of in agreement with this also. I just want to make sure that we don't do something and kill the goose that may be laying a little egg.
Representative Lubnow.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm doing my best to figure this amendment out. I just have a question, and that is, what if the landowner and the developer are the same person, and what are the consequences of that?
Chairman Anderson.
We discussed that. If you're a landowner, you certainly have a lease on that land without any problem. If you can't lease your own land, you're in a real, to yourself, you've got a problem. To Representative Illaway's question, look on note 2 on the handout sheet. Even without the production tax credit, the comparison is the sales tax on these towers is incidental because of the wind that we have.
Representative Carson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, you look at this amendment, and I think it's sort of turning the plane around. You guys in the last session, as I understand it, I wasn't here. You extended the tax from 2008 to 2012. And then at the beginning of the session, we realized we have all these impacts. So everyone got up and said, we got to get rid of this thing. And now we're saying, well, if you're in the pipe, you're still okay. So this is the problem that the renewable energy economy is having when we go back and forth. And if we're going to do this, I would, you know, and we're going to get rid of the sales and use tax exemption, I think we just need to do it. If we're not, we should just let it sunset, because the difference is only 6 months with the date that's provided in here. The other thing, we're doing this in absence of a real true understanding of how county zoning and state regulations and how we measure those impacts and how we provide, you know, funding for our counties to mitigate those impacts. So by doing this, we've got sort of a nice lull in the storm that some of these developers may sort of sit back and plan a little bit longer, and we can get in there and figure out how we want to take on this this problem, but still promote the industry. This, as I see it, and maybe the maker of the amendment may disagree, but this kind of gets them speeded back up. So just food for thought out there, and I know this is something we'll continue to talk about, and as we knee-jerk back and forth, there's consequences, and I've had the same sort of constituencies talk about, I've got a leased land, and now I'm not going to get the money when they move the turbines on, and I'm really concerned about that because I'm counting on $100,000 that I rented my ranch out for wind turbines, and now I'm not going to get it, and those things are out there. So just food for thought.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I've stayed pretty close to this issue of tax exemption on wind generation, and I was in the revenue committee when we put it in. At that time, projects for wind generation had stalled, and we felt like that was an option that needed to be promoted in the state of Wyoming and kept Wyoming competitive with other wind areas. We put that in with a sunset provision in it. When the wind generation came to Wyoming and people fully evaluated the wind resources we had here, we had a rush of projects coming in. So in a previous session, we looked at taking that exemption off, and the reason that we extended it is that we didn't recognize it was going off, nor did anyone else. We'd just forgotten our sunset on that thing, so we extended it one more time because we didn't want people who'd made their business decisions on the tax exemption to be caught in a bait-and-switch kind of a thing from the state of Wyoming. We thought that was a bad image, and that was the reason for that extension, at least in my mind. This is the time. We put another sunset date on there, and we wanted to make sure that those who made the same sort of business decisions are covered and that we end that subsidy, because there's no question in my mind but what wind generation is coming to our state, and that sales tax does benefit our communities. And while you'll hear any promoter of wind projects saying, I need that tax, I've never known anybody that didn't want a tax exemption, so that doesn't surprise me at all from the good folks in Laramie County who would have an objection to any tax going off of a project that they're trying to promote. But if you listen to the counties and the governments that benefit from the sales tax, they want it on, and that's a greater population in my mind. And we did what we wanted to do, is incent a new industry in this state. On and for the corrected amendment number 2.
Question all those in favor. Chairman Anderson, would you like to question all those in favor of committee of the whole amendment number 2? Please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Amendment number 2 has been adopted. We're back on the bill. Chairman Anderson.
Mr. Chairman, there is a committee of the whole amendment number 3, and there was, for technical reasons, if the
Committee of the Whole Amendment number one didn't pass. We'd need a different one. So I'd withdraw that at this time and go back on the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Without objection, we're back on the bill.
I think some of those things have already been well answered. I think it's time to do this. We get a good grandfather clause in there. That gives those people notice that this thing's going to end when that time comes. Otherwise, we'd have these same arguments come 2012, that all we got to extend it, it's all going to fall apart. But we have the wind. The things that are holding it up are not the sales tax. It would be the transmission. There was some talk about the federal income tax credit. That's gone away a couple of times. It's always come back. The people are betting on it. We don't have much to do with that. It's always come back, and it's always been retroactive when it came back. And as long as people are wanting this green power, the only thing that happened to that thing is it'll grow. And so I think we have all the incentive we need. I think there's a couple other people that would like to speak on the bill. And so with that, I think I'm through.
Thank you, Chairman. Representative Thrawn.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just need to declare a conflict.
Thank you. Question hasn't been called. All those in favor of Representative Chairman Anderson's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, and do so with the recommendation that House Bill number 215 do pass. Please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No. House Bill 215 has passed Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Joint Resolution 17. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Joint Resolution introduced by Representative Peterson, a joint resolution proposing to amend the Wyoming Constitution by creating a new section specifying that a marriage between a man and a woman shall be the only legal union that shall be valid or recognized in Wyoming. This joint resolution was referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary, which recommended it do pass. Ayes, Begbie, Kennedy, Mercer, Peasley, Korberg. No, Barbudo, Gingrey, Patton, Thrawn. Signed, Representative Gingrey, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the resolution. What is your pleasure, Chairman Gingrey?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that House Joint Resolution 17 do pass. And I turn over the explanation of the bill to the good representative from House District 19.
Representative Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Fellow representatives, I rise and present House Joint Resolution 17. And I would direct your attention to the resolution. It's 2 pages long. If we could focus our attention on the first page, the first 4 lines reads as follows: a joint resolution proposing to amend the Wyoming Constitution by creating a new section specifying that a marriage between a man and a woman shall be the only legal union shall be valid or recognized in Wyoming. Section 1 goes down to indicate that this proposed resolution, if it passes through the Wyoming legislature and signed by the governor, will be placed on the ballot for general election to be decided by the voters of the state of Wyoming. Looking at page 2, if you look at section 2, it gives instructions to the Secretary of State about placing this particular resolution on the ballot and the instructions there. The final thing pertaining to this two-page resolution is the fiscal note. You see the only expense associated with it is the cost on running resolutions through the publication processes. It's necessary for meeting with Wyoming law to go into the voters to make their decision. There's numerous reasons for bringing this, but I'd like to address the two main features that pertain here. Wyoming Statute 20-1-101 has to do with marriages in the state of Wyoming. It was passed in 1876, and it states that marriage is a civil contract between a male and a female person to which the consent of the parties capable of contracting is essential. Now, if you look at that particular statute, it clearly spells out what the policy and what the direction has been in the state of Wyoming. It's served the Judiciary Committee in good standing for a long period of time because they could look at that and see what's on. And when people from the outside or wherever they may be inside the state, they knew exactly what the rule was. However, Wyoming Statute 20-1-111 concerns marriages performed outside the state and this is the crucial part here, states that all marriage contracts which are valid by the laws of the country in which contracted are valid in this state. Now, that's country. That can be Canada and wherever the case may be, and there is some case law on that. So, what happens when you are married outside the state of Wyoming and it's a valid legal marriage in that jurisdiction, you come to the state of Wyoming, then that statute comes in. We've had societal changes that's taken place. And in this particular case, there are questions that come up for the judiciary, and it's not been really settled in case law because it is something that is evolving. However, looking at these statute, it raises a question whether a marriage other than between a man and a woman, which is valid in a jurisdiction outside Wyoming, would be declared valid in this particular state. So you have the courts here that has this one statute on this side, one statute on this side, and that's what they're looking at. Now, we have two states at the present time, and that's Massachusetts and Connecticut, that has passed legislation saying that marriages that are not between a man and woman are valid in those jurisdictions. So if someone from that jurisdiction moves into the state of Wyoming, what would the courts do? That poses a big issue there. Now, to alleviate this confusion and render direction to the judiciary, because you're going to end up in case law here, this House Joint Resolution proposes to place this question, whether a valid marriage in Wyoming should be between a man and a woman, to the voters of the state of Wyoming. And the reason for that, this is a society policy decision that needs to be done. We have the one statute that says it should be between a man and a woman. The other statute says we recognize them outside. The question comes, why don't we just remove the statute that you have to recognize marriages from outside the state of Wyoming if they're valid? Well, what happens if there is a valid marriage between a man and a woman outside? For example, let's say the state of Colorado and they come to Wyoming, then you'd want to recognize that marriage. The issue here is between a man and a woman. It's my opinion that voters should be entitled to express their viewpoint on this social issue and not leave the question to resolve by court interpretation or some other process. For example, in our education, in the 8 years that I have stood on this floor, there have been education issues that come on the floor. There's been court decisions that has mandated and directed to us various things that took place. And as a result, we then had to respond, and it's been a cumbersome, very expensive process that has transpired until we took the initiative from the legislative branch and made an affirmative decision and direction that we were going to go in the education arena. The same philosophy pervades here at this point in time. Now, I haven't brought this resolution to this body without great thought after much input from different residents. I've been provided with the information from Wild Watch Family Institute that they conducted a poll. I will hold up for you. I've handed this out, and you're welcome to look at this. I am not interested.
What's your point? Do we have a point?
He shouldn't be using the names of these things that are brought. You have to. You used a proper name.
Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ignore the name, but if you'd look at the document that I handed out, it has my name on it, and you can look through this and you can see what the results of this particular poll was. This poll indicated that 509 registered voters were polled between December 12th and 16th in 2008. Of the 509 registered voters, 28% were registered with one party and 50% were registered with another. The polling results clearly showed that 74% were likely to support a constitutional amendment. So, even if you don't listen to this, and polls, all of us on this floor, realize there are various polls that take place, because in the political offices that we're in, you'll have polling that says this resolution, that resolution, this candidate's favored over that. I have been besieged, and I think I can speak that for the floor, with numerous emails, telephone calls, personal contacts from people that are saying support or do not support this particular resolution. In my case, it has been overwhelmingly support for the resolution across all specters of the state, not only in the area that I serve and represent, but all individuals that are around. Now, Mr. Chairman, there are numerous reasons why the institution of marriage between a man and a woman benefits society. Different research has shown that marriage elevates the well-being of children. More than 30 years of studies have shown that kids raised by two married biological parents are more successful and better behaved in school, more likely to attend and graduate college, less likely to live in poverty, less likely to drink or do drugs, less likely to commit crimes, less likely to be physically abusive. Now, I can't stay here or stand here and say that because there is a marriage between a man and a woman, everything is hunky-dory with society. That's not the case. But this research has shown that if children that are raised in a structure of that nature with a man and a woman, these factors certainly play into their lives and make for a more stable environment. Kids shall have daily access to the different complementary ways that mothers and fathers present, because both of us have different traits, abilities, attitudes, ways that we communicate, how we function, and studies have shown that that has a definite significant impact. And since I have three children, seven grandchildren, that's definitely the way. Because each one is an individual, they respond differently to how we present ourselves as grandparents, my wife and I, or their parents to that. And the studies have clearly shown that also. Now, attached to this first handout, you'll find a second handout that displays some of these studies, the impacts of them on family lives, and details some of the reasons why the children and parents thrive in this particular environment. Mr. Chairman, marriage is not an invention of government. It has existed since the beginning of civilization in every known society. Governments have recognized marriage between a man and a woman because it provides the next generation of upstanding citizens and is the only means of melding two sexes into a stronger and more complete whole. A summary sheet of those studies, of course, is here on the floor. I firmly believe in the institution of marriage and the points it's brought out in the studies as well as in my own individual life, because in the 46 years I've been married, I've experienced that and know that to be a fact, let alone what the various individuals that make a matter of studying these things. In preparing for sponsoring this resolution, Mr. Chairman, I also requested from the Attorney General an opinion concerning the legal basis for this proposed resolution. The opinion I did not hand out on the floor because anyone that wants it is certainly welcome to it. There are some people who requested it. It's 12 pages long, and if you want that, come and see me, and I'll be happy to share that with you. The opinion does not have any legal preclusion to this resolution going forward. It says it can. What the Attorney General's opinion did is address several different state jurisdictions that are holding their issues, constitutional issues that's come up associated with marriage between those that are not a man and a woman, and it indicates the following thing that I'd just like to say. In the summation, should the issue of the constitutionality of current Wyoming Statute 20-101, and once again for the body, that is a marriage between a man and a woman, or some other statutory expression of Wyoming's public policy relating to same-sex marriage arise, there is ample authority from other jurisdictions to support either conclusion. So they're in a balance here. We don't know exactly what needs to be done. Some states have taken an affirmative stance and have passed constitutional amendments to clarify this, that their public policy is very well stated, direction for the judiciary is given, and they appreciate that also so that they know what the legislative intent is. Now, this resolution, fellow representatives, we're not deciding the issue here. All we're doing is saying, voters of the state of Wyoming, you have an opportunity to vote on this important issue. This resolution is authorizing it to go on the ballot, and I want to emphasize that very strong. So, Mr. Chairman, I certainly have trust, confidence, and faith in the citizens of Wyoming and the numerous things that they have come forward with. I have seen constitutional ballot measures come up with voting that's taken place. And the collective wisdom of the 550 citizens, because we may have 250 qualified voters that can vote on these kind of things. I certainly hold a good state. I exhort the body to move forward and pass this resolution. I will relinquish the floor and stand for questions.
Thank you, Representative Peterson. Chairman Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I rise in opposition to the bill, and let me explain that. The bringer of the bill, plus the majority floor leader, did a superb job in committee discussing the constitutionality issues. And I know this can be an emotional issue for some people, but to be honest with you, I've sort of enjoyed the constitutional discussions we've had and the high level of intellectual discourse that the bringer of the bill has brought to this subject, and that we've had a good give and take on the Constitution. I am what they refer to as an originalist. I look at the Constitution as the original meaning. It's not a living document to me. It is what it says. For that reason, I have difficulty supporting this, and let me walk you through my reasoning. Back in 1996, it looked like Hawaii was going to authorize same-sex marriages. There was a case proceeding through the Hawaiian Supreme Court. At that time, Representative Barr in Congress, he got DOMA passed, and the President Clinton signed the Defense of Marriage Act. And what this is, it's a statutory act that was attempting to define the Constitution, which suddenly you start to get an idea of where this is going. Can Congress actually start telling you the interpretation of the Constitution? So there's certainly some arguments as to whether or not the federal DOMA statute is even constitutional. But here's what the DOMA says. DOMA says no state need treat a relationship between persons of the same sex as a marriage, even if the relationship is considered a marriage in another state. That's DOMA. That's what was passed in 1996. The difficulty is that since DOMA was passed, there's been a concern that DOMA is not constitutional, that Congress cannot actually define the interpretation of the Constitution. So states have attempted what we're here debating here today is what's called a mini-DOMA. These are called mini-DOMAs. And mini-DOMAs have been passed in quite a few states. And the mini-DOMA is this idea that you pass a state constitutional amendment that works to interpret the U.S. Constitution, which is problematic. If Congress couldn't do it, I'm not sure why a state constitution could do that too. So then we move on to what are they trying to interpret in the Constitution? Well, it's this concept of full faith and credit. In the Constitution, we have something called the Full Faith and Credit Act, which specifically says that every state is obligated to give full faith and credit to the public acts, records, and judicial proceedings of every other state. The difficulty, then there is actually something called the Effects Clause, which grants Congress the authority to prescribe the manner in which such acts, records, and proceedings shall be proved and the effect thereof. That's why they thought they could maybe do the DOMA, because of the Effects Clause. The difficulty is that at least critics of the federal DOMA have argued that Congress overreached their authority, that the law discriminates and violates based on the Equal Protection Clause, and it also violates the fundamental right to marriage, and that right to marriage comes out of a case called Loving versus Virginia. Now, you could argue, and I would argue, there really hasn't been any cases that have overruled federal DOMA. There's actually two cases where it has been challenged, and the federal courts have actually sided with the federal DOMA. So there were lesser courts, so it didn't rise very high, so I'll give you that. But the question is, should we really be rushing to do a mini-DOMA when nobody has really said through a court that federal DOMA doesn't work? So that's the first issue, that perhaps there's no need for this since the federal DOMA has not been ruled unconstitutional. The second issue, and if we can deal just for a moment with, again, with the Full Faith and Credit Clause, there are aspects of the Full Faith and Credit Card Clause where the courts have said you will give full faith to these different things, such as Violence Against Women Act, domestic violence orders. Each state has to recognize each other's states. Child support orders. So because of that, that's where this argument comes about that, well, we're going to be forced to recognize other marriages. And then there's also a dissent from Justice Scalia, my hero, where he points out this problem, and it's from Lawrence versus Texas, where he says, because they base that case on the full faith and credit clause, he comes back and says, I think the majority's decision has destroyed the structure that may permit in the future the destruction of the distinction between heterosexual and homosexual unions. So that's where this came about, this concept that perhaps we needed mini domas. And then there's been other cases. The only case that really comes close to dealing with gay marriage is adoption by gay couples. There was an Oklahoma adoption amendment was ruled unconstitutional because it was the amendment was saying that you could not adopt if you were a same-sex couple. And the court came back and says, well, you can't do that through full faith and credit. So there is some concept out there, at least, that federal DOMA may not apply. But my argument is, until such time, why are we spending our time on this issue? In particularly, and let me give this example. Here's where this whole issue comes down to. So let's say a couple from Massachusetts get married in Massachusetts, where they permit same-sex marriage. They then move to Wyoming. Here's where the issue comes into play. For whatever reason, they choose to divorce. In Wyoming, the most we could ever do for them potentially is I guess, a palimony suit. We could divide their property and do child custody. We could not actually dissolve the marriage. To do that, they would have to return back to their home state, regain residency, and then obtain the divorce in that state. So that's the issue that we're really dealing with. Where this comes down to is this thing called comity, and it's not comity like ha-ha, it's comity, C-O-M-I-T-Y. It's this concept of reciprocity, that we recognize what other states do and they recognize what we do. And that's what makes the union work. However, the courts have said, and Wyoming has said it twice, actually, in a case called In Re's Estate, and in another case called Union Securities Company. In both cases, they've said, yes, we honor reciprocity, we honor this concept of comity, but foreign laws will not be given effect under the doctrine of comity when to do so would be contrary to the settled policy of the forum. Meaning that if this is your public policy, that we do not recognize same-sex marriage, that the comity would not apply, that because of the public policy issue. Let me give a better example. In the state of Colorado, you can have be married under common law marriage, meaning you don't actually have to go down to the courthouse and get married. You are married simply because you lived with a person for a set number of years, and I can't remember the years, but let's say it's 7 years. So you live with somebody for 7 years. In the state of Colorado, after 7 years, you're automatically married. It's called common law marriage. Wyoming does not have that. We don't have common law marriage. But if someone with a common law marriage from Colorado moved to Wyoming, we actually do recognize it. So you could make the argument, well, Keith, doesn't that argue for the other side? It does, except for the fact that the difficulty is that that's not against our public policy. The public policy being marriage between a man and a woman. The common law marriage is just how they got married. It doesn't defeat the public policy concept. Now, let's say someone got married in a way that we disagree with. You were marrying someone very young, much younger than what we allow. Would that be against our public policy, and would the court say, boy, that goes against the public policy of our state, we will not recognize that? I think in most situations, the state of Wyoming would recognize that fact that we do not recognize that issue. And because of the concept of comity, I do not believe our courts would recognize these cases. And so for those particular reasons, I see no need for a mini DOMA. And we should wait until the day that there's a challenge that's that looks much more successful to a federal DOMA, and we rely on our current state of law in the state of Wyoming. I would urge you to vote no on this amendment.
Chairman Illaway.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think we've got to be careful of what goes into the Constitution. I've been critical at times in the past of some things that we've gotten in the Constitution and you can't get them out. It's very difficult. In regards to this particular question, I've gone back and forth. I've gone back and forth on the issue of whether which way to go. I'm for my friends on one hand, and I'm for my friends on the other hand, and therefore I'm for my friends. On the other hand, in this state, which I love, and I've been here since 1963, it's been good to me, we have to vote in this body either aye or no. We're not like a state in the middle of the country where you can vote present. So we have to make that decision, and today is one of those decisions. I've talked to a lot of people. I've come to the conclusion, and I talked to the Attorney General last night, that I cannot support this resolution. And that will probably disappoint some people. I've had lots of emails. I've talked to people. I've gone back and forth. But quite frankly, and my learned friend from the Western Slope talks about, and he's very learned on constitutional issues, but I read our Constitution. So let me read a couple paragraphs that to me answered my questions. The preamble says, "We the people of the state of Wyoming, grateful to God for our civil, political, and religious liberties, and desiring to secure them to ourselves and perpetuate them to our prosperity, do ordain and establish this Constitution." Section 1, Article 1. "All power is inherent in the people, and all free governments are founded on their authority and instituted for their peace, safety, and happiness. For the advancement of these ends, they have at all times in an inalienable and indefeasible right to alter, reform, or abolish the government in such manner as they may think proper." Section 2. "In their inherent right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, all members of the human race are equal." Section 3. "Since equality in the enjoyment of natural and civil rights is only made sure through political equality, the laws of this state affecting the political rights and privileges of its citizens shall be without distinction of race, color, sex, or any circumstance or condition whatsoever other than individual incompetency or unworthiness duly ascertained by a court of competent jurisdiction." And one additional area, Article 6, Section 1, "The rights of citizens of the state of Wyoming to vote and hold office shall not be denied or abridged on account of sex. Both male and female citizens of this state shall equally enjoy all civil, political, and religious rights and privileges." Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Chairman Childers.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I'm standing in opposition of H.J. 17, and I do appreciate the good representatives from Cheyenne bringing some things up in the Constitution. And you know, currently, as it's already been stated, under Article 1 of Creation of Marriage, at 20-1-101 in the statutes, it says marriage is a civil contract between a male and a female person to which the consent of the parties capable of contracting is essential. And this constitutional amendment goes even further. And while you folks don't have it, I have 7 pages of the statutes that I asked for. And specifically what I wanted that search to do is I want a list of the Wyoming statutes that mention the word marriage, spouse, or a variation of those words. Just hitting a few of those, it says petition for adoption of a minor, crime victims compensation, wills, descendants, estates, and probate codes, prior right of surviving spouse, rule of descent, marriage woman may be the administrator, homestead allowance, exempt property, family allowance, exception, wills, goes on and on. Ladies and gentlemen, I too have been married 46 years. I have three lovely children, and I'm very proud of them. Two are sons. I have two granddaughters and another one on the way. And you've seen me prating around here with a tie that shows one of those granddaughters. My third daughter lives in Montana. She's gay. She has a significant other. They aren't married because Montana's law doesn't allow it. But folks, till my dying breath, there's not anybody in this country could say that she is a terrible person or something that needs some person that needs to be have their rights restricted. She lives a quiet life with her significant other. Most people would never know she's gay. And quite frankly, until she graduated from college, my wife and I didn't know it. Her freshman year, oh, incidentally, she had about a 3.95 grade point average when she graduated. But her freshman year, very first semester, we had a counselor say, she better come home. And why? Well, we had no idea. My wife may have had a better idea than I did. But she came home because the counselor was very concerned about what was happening to her. And quite frankly, I think there was a possibility of suicide. And again, like I say, I never knew why. And the only reason she didn't have a 4-point grade point average is because when she left that freshman year, the first semester, when she got back, the professor wouldn't let her make up some of the courses. Otherwise, she would have had a 4-point if she had been allowed to make up those courses. She has grown from that point that she didn't know what she was, she didn't know what she was doing, to a very stable person and productive and does things for society quite well. She represents a healthcare faction for the Physical Therapy Association, travels all over the nation. Smart, oh Lord, she's smart. Good person. But what we're doing with this constitutional amendment, should she have lived here, is to deny her civil rights. In separating civil rights from marriage, I want to bring up another story. My youngest son wanted to get married on our anniversary. Our anniversary is September the 1st. The year he got married, it just so happened that September the 1st fell in the middle of the week. So what he and his future wife decided to do, they would have a civil ceremony, which they had in a Starbucks coffee place, sign some papers, and they were legally married in the state of Washington. And then that weekend, with family and friends, we had a religious ceremony. And that was the official marriage. And I guess I've had thoughts, and there are some people in the gay and lesbian communities that want to be able to use the word marriage, and there's lots of people around that don't want them to do that in any way, form, or fashion. Unfortunately, our statutes say marriage is a civil contract. To allow these other people to have their rights, why don't we separate that? The church or churches can make the decision whether they'll allow somebody to be married in it. Churches are private, and I believe that we try to avoid providing monetary support for these churches, and we want to keep the churches and the government separated. But what we're trying to do with this amendment, yes, present something to the people, but are the people aware of these 7 pages explaining what the civil part of this is and denying other people rights? You know, folks, I grew up in the South. And if you want to argue about this being discrimination, I can argue that. The town that I grew up in was segregated. I did not go to school with any blacks. There was a black woman that worked in our house, and as far as I'm concerned, she was just like a mother to me. But teenagers being the way they are later on in life, you know, typical jokes, typical comments, right or wrong, I'd say mostly wrong, and the attitude in the segregated area develops. There was a fire over in the black section of town, and a friend of mine went out there, typical teenagers chasing after a fire, see what it's like. We were out of the car standing, and I just happened, she had retired, the black woman had retired, and I just happened to look over there, and there she was, standing with another person. She didn't recognize me. And it was just, it just struck me. It's almost unbelievable, the look on her face. This is a white teenager that can cause trouble for me. The fear in her eyes. Now you think about a gay person in redneck country where my folks are from, and I can say that because in northeast Texas, that's redneck country. And the prejudice against the gay and lesbian community is there, I guarantee you. And that hate in their eyes or the fear in the gay person's eyes is there. Do we want a society in this state to do that? Do we want to deny the rights of a gay and lesbian person? I don't think so. What's really sad is why hasn't the medical community actually taken a look at this? Were they raised that way or were they born that way? I'll guarantee you my daughter was born that way. She was raised in a good family. Now again, she's not going to be denied any rights because she lives in another state. But ladies and gentlemen, this bill is wrong, and I suggest you vote against it.
Representative Wallace.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Both our governor and our, in his State of the State, and our elder statesman, the former senator and father of our speaker, asked us to avoid these social issues. And I think it's pretty clear why. As near as I can tell, all of these anti-homosexual campaigns are based purely on a religious interpretation and biblical prohibitions that are contained only in the book of Leviticus. Let me list some of the other things that are prohibited in the same book. Harvesting the corners of a field. Eating fruit from a young tree. Crossbreeding livestock. Sowing a field with mixed seed. Shaving or getting a haircut, tattoos, even a mildly disabled person from becoming a priest, charging of interest on a loan, collecting firewood on Saturday to prevent your family from freezing, wearing clothes made of a blend of textile material. Today, this might be cotton and polyester, and the eating of non-kosher foods like shrimp. Now, let me tell you about some of the things this book requires. A child to be killed if he or she curses their parent. All persons guilty of adultery to be killed. The daughter of a priest who engages in prostitution to be burned alive until dead. The bride of a priest to be a virgin. The ritual killing of animals using cattle, sheep, and goats. And a person who takes the Lord's name in vain to be killed. My church welcomes couples of any gender. We conduct ceremonies for homosexual couples if they ask us to, even though in Wyoming they cannot be legally recognized. Your church may not, and that is your right in a free society. But here we're talking about putting a vote to the citizens that will limit even further the basic civil rights of a certain segment of our society. So, this shouldn't be called the Defense of Marriage Act. It probably ought to be called something like the Defense of State-Sponsored Religious Bigotry Act. Defense from what? Too many committed and loving relationships? The only way that I can see that someone else's choice of a marriage partner could possibly be a threat to my marriage is if I was so insecure in my marriage that I was afraid that my husband might be stolen away by another man. I'm not afraid of my neighbor's choice of a mate. Doesn't hurt me or my children. It is, quite frankly, none of my business. None of the government's business, and certainly not this legislature's business when we have so much important work to do for this state that is going to make a positive difference. So, Mr. Chairman, I would ask for your no vote.
Representative Swanitzer.
Mr. Chairman, I wanted to address briefly why we do not want this to go out to a vote of the people. Because, quite frankly, it'll tear our state apart. Many of you remember the tort reform debate that raged on 4 years ago and the money and influence that came in on both sides of those interests. This will be 10 times worse. This goes to our very heart of our state, the equality state. And yes, we are the state of Matthew Shepard, and we're the state of Brokeback Mountain, but we're also the state of Esther Hobart Morris and Nellie Taylor Ross. And with this, if we let it out of this body, our state will be ripped apart at the seams, quite frankly. It will divide families, divide churches, divide neighbors, divide friends, and will cause a political havoc that this state hasn't seen in decades. So I ask you to vote no on the bill today, and I would call for the question.
Representative Goggins.
Mr. Chairman, I don't very often stand here and address this body, but I believe on this particular subject, when I ran for this position 5 years ago, I had constituents out there that were gay and lesbian. And I knew they were gay and lesbian. And I went and solicited their vote. And many of them voted for me to be their representative, and to speak in their behalf. And I look upon the state as the equality state. And I urge you to maintain that status as the equality state. On and against this bill. Resolution.
Any further discussion? Representative Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll be the closing speaker on this particular resolution. I certainly appreciate the comments that's brought forward, the opportunity to enter into this democratic forum called debate here in the House of Representatives. It's an important issue that we have in front of us. It's a societal issue. In my opinion, it forms the bedrock for the community and the citizens of the state of Wyoming. I have a great trust and faith in their judgment and ability to discern what's right and wrong for them in terms of not only their present well-being, but for their future generations that are going to come. And I certainly stand here today and encourage this body to pass this resolution so we can follow the principles and democracy that we have. Let the people decide this. If it goes on the ballot, they say no, so be it. Then they've all had a chance to speak, because the many emails and things that we receive, let's be responsive and give these people a voice. And I certainly urge adoption and passage of this amendment. Thank you, Mr. Speaker, or Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, on and for the bill. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll try to be very brief with this because there were a lot of great comments made. And with regard to the legal aspects and the constitutional issues, it's true that the federal DOMA so far has withstood challenges in the federal courts. That's a true statement. We talked a little bit about the full faith and credit clause and how, as of right now, there's no reason to rush into doing this with the good representative from Teton County said, a mini DOMA, while the federal DOMA is still held to be valid. But it's a big assumption, in my mind, that we would not be forced to grant a divorce to a same-sex couple from another state. And the fact of the matter is, whichever side of this issue that you stand upon, our statutes are in conflict. And if you look at the legal opinions and the places where this issue has been litigated, let's be honest, it comes down pretty much on either side of the equation. The way our statutes are currently, our Supreme Court could hold that they're unconstitutional, or it could say that they don't violate the full faith and credit clause, because if it did, we would have to give effect to one other state's policy. In fact, all 49 states would have to give effect to one state's policy. So the legal issue is up in the air. I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about the constitutional issues, because I can cite you cases on both sides. So it's flip a coin. The question before this body is, as the good representative from Laramie County said, we have to vote aye or no on this. The constitutional provisions that he cited are correct. I would also remind you that our marriage statute is 130 years old as well, and I would submit to you that at the time the constitutional provisions were written, this issue was not on our radar, let's be honest. And for those who would say that we discriminate or that we're not allowed to set a public policy with regard to marriage, I want to make one thing clear, at least in my opinion. In my opinion, this bill does nothing to say that these relationships cannot exist. They're not designed to go in the statutes and remove any of the anti-discrimination laws we already have that protect individuals that we're talking about. It doesn't do any of that. If we were not allowed, let's use an example. If we're not allowed to stand up and set social policy or public policy in the state, and we want to say that this is a civil rights issue, then I would this is just something to debate and think about in the future. Bigamy is a felony under the laws of our state. It's a felony. So I just don't know what the next step is. If you can have same-sex couples marry, then can you have three individuals? And we can say they're in a devoted relationship. It could be a man and two women, and they should be able to get married because they love each other. And if you think that, that's fine. I happen to disagree with that. Number one, it's a felony already. We've outlawed polygamy. And the same folks that would say this is some type of, religious crusade on the part of the sponsors of this bill, you know, I would say there are people in the state to the west of us who practice polygamy for a number of years that would say nobody allowed them to live their lives as they saw fit. There's no place that that's still legal. But why not? Why isn't polygamy legal? If two people can of the same sex can marry, why can't heterosexual couples have more than one spouse? Why couldn't homosexual folks have more than one spouse? I'm just saying you've got to make this decision. It's not about just sitting back and saying, well, we just can't do anything about anything. Because when it boils down at the end of the day, it's an aye or no vote. And I will tell you, just so you know, and this is from the heart, I respect the vote whichever way it goes, because we all have different opinions on this. But you got to vote aye or no. You're either okay with same-sex marriage, or you're not okay with it. Or maybe you just say, you know, I want to send it to the people to decide. The good representative that mentioned tort reform, true statement. There are these issues that come back around and around and again, and we struggle with them. And you know, we even had a special session on tort reform. And we finally put that to a vote of the people. We said, you know, who are we to say how this is going to work? And we put it to the vote of the people and hopefully put that issue to rest for a while. And I kind of hope that for the same thing, because many of you may not believe it, even though I'm a sponsor on this bill. I don't particularly enjoy this. I really don't. But we all have our opinions. We all have issues that are important to us. I'd like to gently push back and say, you know, when people tell me, here's a social issue, you know, don't waste time on these issues. Well, where do you draw that line? We had a bill earlier this session that shot an entire day. And it's a social issue if I ever saw one. And I would say folks that were proponents of that, a lot would say they're against this. And my point to that is just to say that we need to respect each other's beliefs and opinions and votes, no matter what the issue, because every issue is important to somebody. And I would never set up there in any address I was able to give and say, you can't bring that up. Let's not waste our time on your issues, because they're just not really important issues. So, ladies and gentlemen, just vote it up or vote it down, because at the end of the day, that's all we need to do.
Chairman Cohey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For those of you that were here 2 years ago, 2007, this issue came before this House floor. It came from the Senate. In pretty good context, I think it was like a 23-7 vote. Very little conversation, very little out of the committee that it came from. Came to our floor, and I was the one responsible with managing where it would go. I spent a lot of sleepless nights about where to send this thing. I had two representatives here on the floor promise me extensive debate. One of them who has already spoken, whose daughter is gay, another whose brother is gay as well. They explained to me the lifestyles of these young people, and it struck me kind of hard. It makes me a little bit difficult to talk about it right now, but in thinking about those two individuals and the individuals they were related to, certainly being a minority of this country, I've thought about the minorities before of this country, and if given the chance, I've given a constitutional amendment opportunity to say that certain people can't vote or certain people can't live in a certain neighborhood, that what would the majority of people do of Wyoming? If given the opportunity to say that you can't smoke, you know, in a public place, what would people be given the opportunity to do? Well, the majority of people don't. What would they vote for? I'm not saying that the public is wrong in that decision. They vote for president. They vote for you and me. Did they make the proper decisions? I would say on behalf of all 60 of us, they probably did, for at least those of us that were contested. And there's an issue in there as well, and I'll get to that in a moment. But in my deliberations 2 years ago, what do I do? Where do I send this bill? Laying awake at night, talking to the people that I trust, what do I do with this thing? We have 10 committees we can send this thing to. I looked at every one of them. All of them had good points. Some of them didn't because of the makeup of some of the committee, but I wanted as fair and objective and responsible a hearing as possible. Which committee could I send it to? I sent it to Rules. In the statewide newspaper published in Casper, the following Sunday came an article that said Rules is a place for purgatory. It's a place where things go to die. We had the committee the following week.
It's getting close to the end of the session where we had still dozens of Senate files on our committee of the whole list. It's getting towards the end of that session when my choice, among a lot of things, was, do you hear 15 or 20 Senate files in those following final days, or do you exhaust a considerable length of time on the discussion of this particular issue, because it could tend to be a time parasite? Forgive me for the use of that term, but these things do chew up a lot of time. And having served you as majority floor leader, I understand the elements of time on this floor, particularly when it comes to those final days. Having served as speaker at your choice, and I appreciate the opportunity to have done that, I was given that opportunity, sent it to rules, and we had the people in that room up in 302 that day sitting next to one another. They didn't know who was who and which way each one of them were going to testify as to in favor of the bill or as to oppose to it, next to one another, and many of them didn't know before the meeting started which way their neighbor sitting next to them was going to talk or be in appreciation of the bill. We heard the bill. Most impassioned pleas that I've heard in a committee setting in 10 years on this floor. The vote came 4-4 to me, and the person sitting next to me said, how are you going to vote on this thing? I said, you know, as speaker and being that, holding the responsibilities of many things, including the civility of the floor, respect of one another, decorum, I had some concern that maybe this thing might drag on and evolve into something that is less than the public deserved. The debate today is quite civil. I wasn't so guaranteed 2 years ago that it was going to be. And I told the person sitting next to me that I really had no choice of coming to me 4-4 in my estimation, and I thought that it was in the best interest of the legislature. And frankly, from a time management standpoint, that we listened to the 13 or 15 Senate files that were held dear to at least a lot of people within those bills too, that we hear those 13 or 15 Senate files as opposed to this one measure. Now, I recognize this one measure was then and is now very, very important and very serious to people. We have some lobby groups, as explained earlier. It's very serious and very important to them, as it is to many of you. I promised when I came here 10 or 11 years ago that I would never prejudge a bill. I went into that committee setting that morning, not prejudged. I have never prejudged a bill before a committee setting because the testimony that is heard in the, pardon me, in those committee settings is sacred. Just as sacred to them and just as sacred to both sides, and it is, and it was to me. And I had to create a decision. My wife and I went home after that session, and we were invited by a group in a church setting on a Sunday evening for a potluck supper. I can't give you the common name of that group, but it was a group that was advocates. They were parents and friends of lesbians and gays. I was asked to give a little history on the bill and why I did what I did. I have a little water, Mr. Chairman. The result of that was, I think they held me as some form of hero, and I had to admit that that certainly was not the case. I had to admit that as the officer in charge of responsibility and decorum and civility and time management on the floor, that I made those decisions on that. But still, I mentioned to those people that day, forgive me, the words in Mr. Jefferson's Declaration of Independence, some of those that are in Wyoming's Constitution, that we hold things sacred and dear in this country, among them life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And I'm thinking, you know, as foul and vile as that lifestyle may be to some of us, we decision makers, we policy makers, that we're here to make decisions on behalf of all people, not the majority sometimes. Certainly we make decisions based on the common good, and that's what we're here for. What is the common good? Is the common good to tear at the threads of our fabric, of our society?
there are fringes that would like to have it this way and would like to have it that way. I find those fringes becoming more and more deliberate as we go through life, and it has become more and more that way the past 10 years, kind of my way or the highway. If I don't get my way, you are going to be on the highway. Well, so be it. I'm not here to make a choice based on the next election. I'm here to make a choice, as all of you are, on today. We live in the present. Things can be changed. But I find this, that if you would go out and once again ask that vast, silent majority how they feel about this, I'm going to tell you that not those on this edge, and not those on this edge, but those folks that do not call you, those folks that do not email you, those folks that do not visit you out here, if you were to call 10 of your best friends at home, they would say, haven't you got something better to do? Certain issues are difficult here on this floor, without doubt. When I first got here 10 or 11 years ago, my class heard hate crimes legislation. They're difficult to hear. A lot of people wanted that issue on this floor. A lot of people want this issue on this floor. I've been married for 40 years, and I hope I'm married to another 40 years to the same person. What does that have to do? How can my marriage be defended? Or any of yours, for that matter. There are certain issues that maybe belong on this floor, and there are certain issues that are not, that maybe should not. This one has been discussed, at least this year in 2009. I guess I have I appreciate the fact that it has finally taken place. In 2007, I made the decision that it should not take place at that time. That is the reason for my decision. I had to let you know that I certainly am not the hero that some people thought. But we have heard this issue, and I think it is time to cast the vote. Mr. Chairman, I call for the question.
Question having been called, all those in favor of Representative Gingrey's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rise and report it, do so with the recommendation that House Joint Resolution 17 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no.
No.
Let me find. Pursuant to House Rule 10-5B, this bill having failed a voice vote, a standing division vote is required. All those in favor, please stand. All those opposed, please stand. Having failed a standing division vote, a roll call vote is required. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bagby.
No.
Barbudo.
No.
Berger.
No.
Blake.
No.
Bonner.
No.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
No.
Buchanan.
Aye.
Byrd.
No.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Carson.
No.
Childers.
No.
Cohey. Connolly,
no.
Kraft,
no.
Davison,
aye.
Dirks,
no.
Edmonds,
aye.
Esquivel,
no.
Gilmore,
no.
Gingery,
no.
Goggles,
no.
Hales,
no.
Hallinan,
aye.
Hammonds,
no.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Illaway,
no.
Yagi,
aye.
Jorgensen,
no.
Landon,
no.
Lockhart, Lubno,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
McComey,
no.
Mercer,
aye.
Meyer,
no.
Miller,
aye.
Millen,
no.
Moniz,
no.
Patton,
no.
Peasley,
aye.
Patterson, Patterson,
no.
Peterson,
aye.
Philp,
aye.
Horberg,
aye.
Roscoe,
no.
Semlek,
aye.
Shepperson,
aye.
Stewart,
no.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
Aye.
Thompson.
No.
Throne.
No.
Wallace.
No.
Swanitzer Dan.
No.
Swanitzer Dave.
No.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 25 ayes, 35 noes.
Pursuant to House Rule 10-5B, House Joint Resolution 17 having failed, a roll call vote is indefinitely postponed. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move the Committee of the Whole beg leave to rise and sit again at 1:30 p.m.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor? Committee reports. Chairman Illaway.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, will meet Monday, February 9th, upon noon recess in House 18. We will discuss the fascinating 100-page bill, Senate File 72 engrossed, Corporations Act Amendments.
Chairman Landon.
Mr. Chairman, your committee number 10, Labor, will meet at noon adjournment today to our House 17 to hear House Bill 298, Medical Practice Act Revisions, House Bill 154, Abortion Reporting Requirements, and House Bill 30, Minimum Wage.
Chairman Childers.
Mr. Chairman, your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources will meet in H10 Monday morning at 8 a.m. to consider the following three bills. Senate File 4, State Parks and Cultural Resources for Fort Bridger. Senate File 5, Engross, State Parks and Cultural Resources, South Pass City. And Senate File 7, Historical Mine Trail and Byway Program.
Chairman McComey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, your House Committee number 4, Education, will meet on Friday, today. As soon as we can reach, go upstairs, I'll give you 5 minutes to go get some apples or something, and we'll meet upstairs where we will, in room H10, where we will take up House Bill 254, Curriculum Choice, and House Bill 259, Charter Schools Authorizer.
We are in recess until 1:30 p.m.